The Time Bandit, the Northwestern, the Cornelia Marie, and the Wizard. Each fall, this fleet sets out from Dutch Harbor in Alaska, and millions follow them into the stormy, frigid waters of the Bering Sea on the Discovery Channel. The show Deadliest Catch documents one of the most dangerous jobs in the world, fishing for Alaskan king and Opelio crabs. Only 400 fishermen in the U.S. make their living this way. Two of them, Jonathan and Andy Hillstrand, captains of the Time Bandit, join us today. If you're a fan of Deadliest Catch and you'd like to talk with the Hillstrands about their difficult and sometimes brutal profession, give us a call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Jonathan Hillstrand joins us today from member station KUOW in Seattle. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having us.
And his brother Andy's on the phone from his home in Indiana. Welcome to the show, Andy.
Yep, thanks, Neil. Good afternoon.
And we don't think of Alaskan fishermen living in Indiana, Andy.
No, we sure won't. As Jonathan calls it, it's Andiana.
Andiana. That's a long commute.
Yeah, it is, actually. It's about a full day's worth of traveling.
Tell me, Andy, what is it about the place you grew up in, Homer, Alaska, that makes you, want to take on the incredible risks that you guys do every season?
Well, we grew up around the water our whole lives, so me and John always said we're like the Tom Sawyers of the ocean because, you know, we grew up in little skiffs and stuff, and we were on boats since we were 1 month old, so
yeah, just everything, that would float.
We got salt in our veins.
You were saying, Jonathan, anything that would float?
Yeah, we'd make rafts and anything that would float.
And go out fishing
pretend to be pirates and crab fishermen. Our dad used to crab fish, so we used to watch him leave. We always wanted to go with him, you know. He drives off in the sunset with the boat and leave us at home. So,
you guys have written a book called Time Bandit, which is, of course, the name of your boat. And it was interesting, Jonathan, I was reading part of it, and you said that crab fishermen have to be incurable optimists.
Yes, yeah. Well, it's like heaven and hell out there. And I always think of the worst case scenario, then you never get let down, you know.
But, so if you keep your expectations low, you're going to be all
right.
Yeah,
and then you'll never get let down. So that's how I keep the optimist in me there alive.
Andy, here's a question we have from Paul Miller. He says, I love the show, and I've always wondered how the captain chose the name for Time Bandit. I'd be interested to know if it has anything to do with the movie Time Bandits, which is one of my favorites.
Yeah, partially it had to do with that movie. My dad watched it, but mostly it takes all your time, so it steals your time like a bandit.
And it's interesting, again, reading in your book, Jonathan, your dad helped you buy the boat, but, well, you had to pay him back every penny.
Yeah, we weren't handed. We worked hard to get what we got, and he even then said, you guys aren't going to make it, but we proved him wrong. But he was hard on us because he loved us. So it was made good men.
Hard on you because he loved you, Andy? Did that always come through?
It didn't always come through. It always came through that he was hard on us. But as we got older, you know that your parent, that he loved us. He told me he loved me twice in his life. He just came from a generation where you don't say that stuff. But no, we knew our dad loved us because he would stand up for us no matter what, as long as we did what was right and was honest.
Hmm. I think if you're your kid's best friend, you're not doing your job. You have the tough love.
Here's an email from Michelle in Horsham, Pennsylvania. One thing I have always wondered, do any of you guys ever eat crab?
Yes, we love crab. Never get tired of it.
Yeah, I can eat crab, shrimp, lobster, you name it. I love
any shellfish.
Let's see if we get a caller on the line. This is Clarence. Clarence with us from Lehigh Acres in Florida.
Hey, man, you guys are one of my favorites to watch on there. I mean, hey, we live for your show every week.
Thanks, man.
Oh, man, I mean, hey, you guys go out there and do something that a lot of us only wish we had the guts to do. That wasn't quite what I wanted to say, but, you know, you know what I mean.
Well, we appreciate that, Clarence.
Hey, I do want to ask you another question, though. Is your buddy Phil coming back?
Yeah, Phil's going to come back.
He's going to come back. I know on the last show that you had, because we had to tape it to watch it, but on the last show you had when you guys were standing around the barrel, I did see him standing out there talking to you, so I'm just wondering, is he coming back, and is he all right?
Yeah, you got to watch the show tonight.
So that's when you'll see it.
Yeah, tonight's episode.
Tell us a little bit about Phil, though. Who is he?
Phil is one of the captains on, I can't think of the name of the boat.
Cornelia Marie. So
yeah, Cornelia Marie. You got it.
Yep, yep.
And what's the drama about? Why might he be leaving?
Well, he got sick on the boat, and you know, really sick. So he had to, it was either get off the boat or the other scenario, which I don't want to.
He actually had a heart attack right on the show. So,
oh my gosh,
like everybody.
Well, actually, he had a blood clot come up through his leg and went through his heart and his lungs. That's what.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you watch the show, you get all into that drama. Every week of the show, and you almost just feel like you're on the boat with you guys.
Yeah, it's like a guy's soap opera, I think.
It's just like my TV is a huge TV, so I feel like you guys are just as tall as I am, when I'm watching you. I love it.
Clarence, thanks very much for the call.
Someday with you.
All right, thanks, guys. Hey, have fun, we will be watching you. Believe me. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Andy, tell us, don't the cameras get in your way?
They do sometimes. You have a guy on deck, and you have a guy up in the wheelhouse, and, of course, they want to film right when it's really bad, and you don't want them there, but... We know how to smack them around. I got Johnson there during Opie's, and I'm there on King Crab, so on deck doing stuff. And so we know how to manage it pretty well. And they're pretty good pros, too. They try to stay out of the way.
Let's next go to Lily. Lily calling from Tambrook Pines in Florida.
Hi.
Go ahead, Lily.
Hey Jonathan
Lily.
And Andy.
Hello.
Hey, Lily.
I saw that you guys went fishing down in Mexico on vacation after you finished the King Crab season. You fish for a living. You must really love to fish if you do that on vacation as well.
Yes.
I
don't know if the fish hooked us or we hooked the fish.
Dad, and we didn't get a chance to do that when he was alive. So Jonathan said, come on, guys, let's go. We'll never go. And me and him and Neil went down there to Mexico, and we loved to sport fish.
You guys got some great-looking fish on that boat, too.
Oh, yeah, they were great.
Thanks.
And Andy, what is up with the horses?
Oh, I just, my daughters got into horses when they were kids, and I got hooked by that horse bug, too. So next thing you know, I got horses.
Well, I'm glad to speak to you, and I can't wait to see the Opelio season that's going to start soon.
All right, thank you.
All righty.
Lily, thanks
It'll
very much for the
show
call.
It'll be the first show I get to see. I haven't seen any, Andy.
Oh, man. So,
really? You haven't seen any from this next season?
I had to take the boat up to Togiak, so the boat stays out 10 months out of the year. We don't stop fishing, we fish other things besides crab. So I just got back.
But in your book, you said basically that you guys fish crabs so that when you're off, you can fish for salmon.
Yeah, I do that too. I'm going to get on the 12th. I go back up to Alaska and get ready to do salmon with my little boat. But the time bandits go doing salmon in Bristol Bay and then southeast Alaska. So it's also working.
Let's see if we go next to Mike, and Mike's with us from Seabrook in New Hampshire.
Hey Neil, how you doing?
I'm well, thanks.
Great. I'm so thrilled you're on the show because Time Bandit is my girl and my favorite crew to watch. We're always rooting for you guys.
Hey,
in particular,
man.
I want to say that time you pulled that guy from the water. I wonder how that felt. That must have felt so good to save someone's life. And after that, you guys pulled in a whole bunch of crab. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, that's one of my finest moments in my life. My legs are shaking. Because we've done the opposite and pulled guys out of the water that don't live. So... to do something
I was tearing up when it happened.
Well, Jonathan,
I can't even watch that.
Tell us a little bit more about what happened there.
We were following a boat, and this guy was over on the side, and I was going to yell at the captain, and we said, no, forget it, and I started to peel out, and then he came on the radio, and man overboard, and we were mad, and my legs were shaking, but my guys responded, did everything we needed to do. It was like textbook save, and the kid in the water, that he just floated there and relaxed. He didn't try to swim towards the boat or nothing. So we ended up saving him. And then when I got to see that on TV, I didn't know that he collapsed in the hallway and stuff and turned white like that.
Hmm.
So he was real close to hypothermic and dying.
And a lot of us, I don't think, quite understand the relationship that you guys have with the Coast Guard. I mean, I think most people assume that if you get on the radio and call the Coast Guard, they come running like, I don't know, some C version of AAA.
Yeah.
Well, they come running, but they might take them an hour, 2 hours to get to you. So you don't want to count on anybody but yourself. But when you do got to make that call, thank God you see that helicopter coming. That's a good thing. Knock on wood, we've never had to do that. So,
But if you don't get in your wrap, in your suit, and in your raft, you're not going to live through the night out there. That's a fact.
Mike, thanks very much for the call.
God bless you. Good
hey, thanks, Mike.
For you guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Here's an email from Lisa in Raleigh. As a female, I'm wondering if any women have ever worked on your crew. If so, how long did they stay?
Well, we've had, not really on our crew, we've never had a female girl work. My daughters actually came out for a cod trip and stuff like that, but not on crab. And they've had a boat with all female crew and stuff like that over the years, but we try to just keep it guys on our boat because it works out well for us.
We saw this in this last season of Deadliest Catch, another captain's philosophy on fist fights among the deckhands. Captain Sig Hansen of the Northwestern says, you use your fists, you're off. Jonathan, is that the way it goes?
We make them finish the fight. If someone fights on our boat, we just say, get it done right now. You know, I know what he's talking about, but what do you think, Andy? We let them finish the fight, and then
we
usually shake hands, and it's over.
We have all the safety precautions in place, but you can't have an unfinished a fist. You can have a fist fight on the boat, and it's not the end of the world as long as they finish it and they come off with no hard feelings. Now, if they're going to keep trying to kill the guy, then that's another issue, and they're gone. You know, so even on the Northwestern, those guys are still good friends after they had their fight. They were just blown off steam, and they were tired.
We're talking with Jonathan and Andy Hillstrand, the captains of the Time Bandit, featured on the Discovery Channel's Deadliest Catch, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go next to Julie. Julie calling from Fort Lauderdale.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Go ahead, please.
Hey, Fort Lauderdale. Woo!
I have to say that you guys are pretty hardcore, and it's very impressive what you guys do. I'm an avid spear fisherman myself, so I enjoy the water too, but I'm not sure I could have the gumption to get out and do what you guys do, so you guys are amazing. But my question is for you. I know how disheartening it is to go out and not spear a fish, and I was wondering, what are you guys more afraid of? Is your fear more that you're, going to get a bad storm, capsize the boat, or sink, or is your biggest fear that you're not going to get your haul?
What do you think,
John? All the above.
we always have that chance to catch our crab, but you see that storm that those guys all died in. Like John says, you got to get in your raft and in your survival suit. A lot of those guys got in their raft and in their survival suits, and they still didn't make it, because the raft just got tumbled 40, 50 times. So you always worry about that, and you try to run away from that. But, yeah, we always want to catch crabs. So, John, he's been darn lucky the last couple of years on king crab. So,
yeah.
Hey, one other question. Are you guys going to come out with a beer like Sig did, or are you guys going to pass on that one?
We'd probably go with just a name brand beer, hopefully. So
endorsement, maybe.
Was that beer good? Have you had Sig's beer?
You know what? I haven't had it yet. I'm a big fan of the Rogue beers, but I haven't had it yet. I've been looking around to see where I can find it, but I think it'd be pretty cool. You guys have a competition also between the beers to see which one of you guys can come out with the best one. Anyway, God bless you guys. Good luck with your
future. God bless you, too.
Right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So long. Well, here's following along in the beer line of questioning. This from Lou in Helena, Montana. I was wondering if the captains could speak up a little bit about the proliferation of drug use in the fishing industry in Alaska.
Well, there used to be a lot of drug use in the 70s and 80s, but we have random drug tests on the boats. It's a lot different industry now than it used to be. You can't have people. It used to be they'd hire people off the docks, and any kind of scallywag could come aboard. And now it's pretty. We're down to a core group of fishermen that want to make money and live.
There's only 400 of us in the world, so we choose the best of the best guys. You don't take anybody off the street like Andy's saying.
Let's see if we go next to Chris. Chris with us from Lindstrom in Minnesota.
Hi, Dale, and hi, guys, fans, both the fans,
hey,
and both
up,
you guys.
Man?
Oh, well, thanks.
Hey,
that's nice.
I got a question. Being in family business myself, how is it for you brothers? I mean, you guys ever have any, I don't see it on camera too much, but do you ever have your moments where you have the animosity between the brethren or, you're with
your
guys?
We've had between other brothers. But us three brothers on the boat, there's Neil's on the boat too, but we're all so different that we get along. For some reason, it just works. We benefit each other.
I understand. I mean, you're with them for 10 months out of the year. I'm with mine for like 6 months out of the year, and I know it's a struggle. At one point or another, you're just like, when does it not, when do I get rid of this guy, or has anybody ever left the boat? I mean, I've seen your son left for a while, came back. I mean, is that a common occurrence, or...
Yeah, it comes and goes.
We knew
he was coming back. Sometimes editing is a little different than actual, but it's pretty close.
Right. Yeah.
There's no.
Well, we actually
it's the most real show
brothers,
there is out there.
And then now we're down to three brothers. So we had two brothers that just couldn't like those two guys almost got in a knife fight, so they kind of once became a doctor from the North Slope. So
all right, well, he went from a knife to a doctor. Sweet.
Yeah,
there's,
no,
we have eight brothers total, and the three of us just get along. So we've always got along, and that's the way it is. So
it looks like a great. I mean, I wish we could do the same. You guys do great.
Yeah,
and I hope you guys have a good system. You know, good luck on your next trip.
All right, thank you.
Hey, thanks.
And here's an email from Matt in Philadelphia. Thanks to all the hardworking crab fishermen, the deadliest catch was part of what inspired me to join the Coast Guard. How do you guys feel about coasties up in Alaska? I know it can be a love-hate relationship sometimes, and keep up the hard work.
That's a good profession to go into, because it makes a lot of good men out there, I think, Coast Guard.
And it used to be a lot more hate than love, but now there's a lot of – it's pretty – we got a pretty good relationship with them now. They used to come up from Florida, and they were all, you know, catching drug runners, so they'd have come out with guns drawn. So they've really worked hard, and we know, like, the commandants now, and we've become pretty good friends now, so it's pretty good.
And we'll end with this email from Kristen in Durham, Connecticut. I'm a 44-year-old romance writer, so you might not think that I watch the show, but my husband and I don't miss an episode. Our kids love the show, too. I think the crab fishermen are the coolest cats around. All my girlfriends catch the deadliest catch and admire the men who bring us those delicious crabs. Thank you for all your work. And
thank you.
Guys, thanks very much for taking the time out to be with us today. Next episode airs tonight.
Yep.
Yes.
Tonight at
9
Eastern, 8 p.m. Central.
Well, Jonathan Hillstrand was with us today from member station KUOW in Seattle. His brother Andy on the line from his home in Indiana. The Hillstrands are captains of the Time Bandit, one of the fishing boats featured on The Deadliest Catch, now in its fifth season on the Discovery Channel. The brothers have written a book together about their battles with the sea called Time Bandit. You can find a link to it at our website. Just go to npr.org, click on Talk of the Nation. Tomorrow, Ken Rudin, the political junkie, on governor's races and a look at new mayors, and of course, the trivia question. Join us tomorrow. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.